Welcome back to the Chick Flick Chronicles, where we compare movies trying to find the ultimate chick flick. I'm Juliet.
And I'm Kaylee.
And today we're going to be discussing 17 Again and Hitch.
I'm so excited about this matchup because it's very different. It's very different than last week's, and it's very different than any of the other movies, I think.
It's true. Let's talk about how we decided that they had a spot on our bracket. Because that was kind of a conversation. We tried to define what a true chick flick is, and we essentially came up with a criteria that it follows a female lead on some type of coming-of-age journey or love story. And in these two movies, our cast is mostly male, and the main characters are definitely male. So how did we end up putting these two on our bracket?
It was not a decision we took lightly, for sure. But we did decide that, I remember we talked about that chick flicks have a primarily female market. I think that these movies, along with our other chick flicks, have some of both, right? Like, males can enjoy many of these movies, but especially these ones. And so I felt like we included them because I think they were mostly made for women. Like, they still feel like movies you'd watch on a girl's night. They have, yes, like, lots of romance and comedy, and they're very sweet and endearing. They're very easy to watch, and they're funny.
Yep. And 17 Again has Zac Efron in it, so, like, you know, come on, that's just, like, obvious, has to be on there. So, he deserves a spot on the bracket forever and always.
Yes, I know that he's done projects that are less chick flicky, but I always have a hard time picturing him in different roles because he will always feel like Troy Bolton to me.
Yeah, he was the heartthrob of our generation, so we can't sleep on that, you know?
Yep.
Gotta give him his place in the palace. But, yep, that's perfect. Perfect little recap. And I completely agree. I think definitely targeted more towards female audiences. Hitch, of course, is about finding love. And 17 Again, I'll get into later. But I think there's a different type of love represented in that story. But ultimately, I do think that it can also be enjoyed by other audiences as well, outside of the main chick flick audience. So it's a fun one to talk about. So I'm excited to dive in.
Me too. Okay, should we start with Hitch?
Let's do it.
Well, speaking of market, I think that this is the most gender neutral market of all of the movies on our bracket, more so than 17 Again. Would you agree?
Yes. I would agree. I definitely think this film sits solidly more in comedy, the comedy side of a rom-com or a chick flick. And so I think that's what makes it a little bit more universally enjoyed. So yeah, I agree.
I also have to share the lengths that I went through to watch this movie because at the time of this recording, it is not available to stream for free anywhere. But I own it on DVD. So I was like, okay, I'll save myself a few bucks and dust off my DVD player, which I had dig out. I have this giant case full of DVDs and a Blu-ray player
that I found. Wow, retro.
I know. But it's hard because, well, okay, disclaimer, we don't have a TV. And so that would have been easier if I could just plug the Blu-ray into the TV. But we do have a projector, which is usually very easy to use when we're streaming movies. I'll have to share a picture because there was 10 different cords and cables sitting on the ground. And I'm trying to figure out how to get my Blu-ray player to work with a monitor and a speaker. It took me 45 minutes that to get awesome. This started.
Oh my gosh. That's dedication for sure. I, on the other hand, did not have it on DVD, and I couldn't find it in any of the streaming services that I own, so I resorted to YouTube, And YouTube's got her back in this case because they had so many clips and compilations of different scenes of that movie. And then, of course, I have to credit my husband because there are a few plot points that I could not recall enough to be able to speak to them here on the podcast. And he gave a full depth analysis of the movie and all the little things that we're supposed to gather from it and learn. And it was fun to hear also from a guy's take, the things that stuck out to him. So that was my refreshing before this podcast.
That's great. I wish we would have thought about those YouTube recaps more actually when we were doing, when we were creating the bracket to begin with, because
True.
we
Would have
really
saved us some
watched
time.
most of these movies before we even put them on the bracket. So
Yep.
that was hours and hours and hours. But
But
that's
that
also
was also a couple years ago. This project's been, in the making for a few years. So some of these movies, I'm like, I know we watched it when we were doing all of our research for this project, but it's getting a little dusty in there, I had a lot of schooling going on in my brain since then, so
that's right. We'll
so
definitely have
gotta
to
review.
have the husband's guest star, though, on an episode because
Yes.
I'd love to get
Yeah.
their input on some of these.
Okay. Do you want to give a brief overview of what Hitch is about?
Yes. So Hitch is about this character that Will Smith plays. His name is Alex Hitchens, and people call him the date doctor. He lives in New York City. And he's essentially a dating consultant that men hire to help them improve their dating game so that they can get a few dates with the women of their dreams. And of course, throughout this movie, he has his own love interest that he finds. And there is mainly it follows his client who Kevin James plays. And he's like really into this girl who's a celebrity. And so there's some additional drama there. But then, of course, there's also this level of discretion with his clients because he doesn't want the women that they're going for to feel like they were part of this con or this plan or something. When in fact, like he really is genuine. He really is helping these men just feel confident and kind of brush up on their social skills to help win these women over. But of course, in this movie, there is a point where everyone finds out about everyone else, and there's lots of misunderstanding. And so they have to resolve all of that with each other. But at the very end of the movie, spoiler alert, by the way, for this whole podcast. Will
We
Smith,
spoil things.
that's our tagline.
Sorry.
Our Instagram bio
Okay.
is We Spoil So on
Okay,
that
sorry,
note,
go
we at the end of the movie, Will Smith ends up with his love interest. Kevin James ends up with his love interest, and it all works out, and everything's great. But there's lots of comic relief and romance, and there's lots of moments that everyone can relate to throughout the whole movie.
Oh, for sure. Can we also just talk about that duo, Will Smith and Kevin James? Absolutely hilarious. I am a little more partial to Kevin James personally, but I think they work really well off of each other in that movie. And yeah, there's just so many funny parts that I think everyone, whatever their like love life dating experiences have been, I think everyone can relate to something in that movie, We don't live in the movies. There's just some things that happen on dates that are kind of awkward or embarrassing or silly, funny, whatever, as we're just trying to give the best impressions of ourselves and sometimes lose ourselves in that, trying to impress other people. And you look back and you kind of cringe or get a little secondhand embarrassment. It's just like, oh, yeah, I remember doing that too, or whatever. It's just very relatable, I think, which makes it fun for everybody.
Yes, so relatable. I think that this might be my favorite role of Kevin James because
Really?
I think
Yeah.
sometimes he can just get a little too much for me.
Fair.
And he's so endearing in this movie. He's really just this awkward guy that has a good heart. And we've all been there. And Will Smith,
Well,
this was like, he's canceled now, basically, right? And rightfully so. I
true.
mean, he has totally just not been on his game the last few years. But when this movie came out, he was really at the top of his career. He made his way as this heartthrob, and he's just so funny and so smooth, and he does a great job of playing this character who his goal is to make other people feel less awkward, but throughout that you see his own insecurities come out a little and like how he works through those, and I think he does a really great job with this role.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that that story, his little storyline too, where he kind of learns also that insecurities or things that you don't necessarily like about yourself or maybe a little perceived as a little dorky or nerdy or whatever, those are the things that make people like you. Like, those are the things that endear people to you because it's you. It's not this persona put on. And I think that's something that he learns through Kevin James' character and Kevin James' pursuit for love, is that it doesn't have to be this perfectly curated experience every time. It's people really do, the right people really do just love you for you. And I think that's a cool message that they don't always pump through romance films these days, you know? So I did appreciate that realization in the movie.
I like how at the end of the movie, during kind of the resolution, Kevin James' love interest is confronting Will Smith, and she's like, "Well, how did you tell him like what my favorite, I don't remember what point she says, but it's like, how did you know what my favorite flowers were and about this experience when I was a kid, and like how did you know about all that?" She felt so invaded, and he was like, I didn't have anything to do with that. That was just you guys hitting it off." So he just like set up the stage for them and then let them take it from there.
Yeah. And I think even Austin was, when he was giving me his full recap, he mentioned that part as well, and he was like, she was asking like, how did you tell him how to do like all those silly dance moves and the kiss, the way he did it, and all these things. And he was like, I didn't tell him to do that. That he messed that up, you know? He had broken Hitch's dating rules, but it was messing those up and being himself that got her to want him, which is super cute and fun.
Yeah,
So.
it is cute, and it makes me wonder if more people had access to a dating consultant, how different the world would be. Because I think everyone has people that they didn't go for because they felt awkward, they didn't feel confident enough, or they didn't know how to present themselves well enough, even though there was lots of potential there. Matthew always tells me that before he came up to talk to me for the first time, he told himself, "Well, if you don't talk to pretty girls, you're never going to marry one."
Oh, that's cute.
It's so sweet. But we've all felt that way. We've all seen someone and we're like, "Oh, they're too
Totally.
good for me. They would just never go for me." And so I love hearing Hitch coach his clients and be like, whenever you're worried if she's still into you or if things are going well, just remember you're on a date with her. She already said yes. So she's already
That's
interested.
true.
And I just wish I would have had that little voice in my ear so many times.
So true. Yeah, even though the whole like date doctor situation kind of ends up crumbling towards the end of the movie, I really don't think it's a terrible idea. I really do think we could all use some social skills tips from time to time. And like you said, little confidence boosters to get us up and running. And having the courage and the bravery to put ourselves out there a little bit more. So I think it's definitely a happy medium. I don't think we need to fully give our full selves up in the process. It's important to be yourself, but it doesn't hurt to have a few social skills also placed in there, like the do's and don'ts on a date and things that girls may like or dislike and things that guys may like or dislike happening in the date. So I don't think it's a totally horrible idea, honestly.
Yeah, I'm there with you, I think. This is kind of a pro and a con of this movie is watching the dates that they plan, that Hitch plans for his own love interest and for his clients. Like they're just so, it really sets a high bar. Like jet skis and family history and these like swanky art shows and the cooking class they do looks so fun. But I also think that first dates shouldn't be that elaborate, personally. I think that I was actually just watching the Gilmore Girls episode recently where they where Suki and Jackson go on their first date and they go to like this really nice restaurant and it's fancy and they get all dressed up, but then they talk about how it was kind of it was a high pressure situation and so they ended up going somewhere more casual and that's where they hit it off. And so I love watching the dates that they plan throughout this movie, but I feel like they're more appropriate for later in their relationship because I think that first date should just be fun and focusing on enjoying each other's company instead of all this elaborate stuff.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And this is something that I always think whenever I watch like The Bachelor or Bachelorette and they're going on these amazing, like multi-thousand dollar dates. And I'm just like, well, of course you're gonna fall in love under those conditions. You're in a helicopter or you're riding a horse on a beach, or he just took you to a mall that's been shut down just for you and he's buying you all these dresses. I'm just like, anyone's gonna love that. It takes away from the opportunity to really see who each other is and really get into the nitty-gritty of getting to know each other and stuff. So I agree, those first dates should be easy and simple. And it doesn't mean that they have to lack thought in the planning of it. Like one of the dates that Austin and I did early on was we cooked a meal. So we had found a recipe online that looked good. And I came over to his place and we cooked the meal. And then he pulled out a Jenga set and he had little Sharpies, and he's like, okay, let's write, get to know your questions on the Jenga. And then as we pull them out, we'll ask each other. And I thought that was like so cute because I knew that we were gonna have dinner and maybe play some games or something. But the fact that he thought, like, okay, this is a fun way I can get to know her, and it's kind of cute. Like, I just love that he put that extra thought into it, but it wasn't expensive. I didn't put him out of his time to plan or prepare, but it meant a lot to me. I know that's something that we still have in our marriage. Like it's one of our artifacts of our love story is this little Jenga set that he put together. So it's, yeah, simplicity goes a long way, I think.
That is so sweet. I love that. That's a great date. Like, I almost even want to do that now with Matthew married. Like, just this get to know
Yeah.
your Jenga game. That's so sweet.
I just have one more thing I would like to say
Go ahead.
about Hitch. Throughout the movie, Hitch goes through his different rules, as you know. He has his rules for like how you initiate the first kiss and certain things about the activities that the woman might want to do and how to guide the date that way. But one thing he talks about, which I just thought was so hilarious, is he tells Kevin James' character that the first date is actually not about the girl that he's on a date with. It's actually about that girl's best friend. Because after the date, she's gonna go home and debrief with the best friend and seek the stamp of approval from the best friend before she goes on any more dates with that guy. And so everything you do, you gotta make sure that the best friend's gonna approve. And I just thought that was so hilarious. It's absolutely applicable. Kaylee can attest, like after all of my dates with Austin, I was calling her or Marco Poloing her and debriefing and just being like, hey, what do you think of this and this and this? And I really liked this, or this is something I still want to see more of, or whatever. But we do like a full unpacking, and yeah, I definitely want my best friend to be excited for me and be like, yeah, this is a great guy, And I know that's something we did for each other, like all through college, just all through our dating experiences. And when she was dating Matthew, she was coming to me and debriefing. And so I just thought that was such a real. laughable part of the movie that it just made me laugh when I came across that part. So.
Yeah, I recently found all of the voice memos that I had sent you from when I was first starting to date Matthew.
Oh my gosh.
And there are tons of them, like
Yep.
throughout our whole relationship. Like, I think when we got engaged, they started slowing down a little, but it was like every week there was like a 30-minute debrief.
And I loved it. I loved to hear it. And Matthew always made a great impression, I will say, from the get-go. But yeah, it's just like one of those fun, like very girly things to just share in the experience of like trying to find love, and the stamp of approval from the best friend is so important. So love that. But those are all my thoughts on Hitch. I'm ready to transition if you are.
Yeah, I think I am too. So 17 again. This is a very family-oriented chick flick.
I would agree.
It's not quite, I wouldn't quite say family friendly, but because there are a few
No.
little spicy scenes, but you mentioned earlier that this is a different kind of love that it focuses on. So why don't you expand a little more
Yes.
on that?
Sure. So just to give a quick little summary, we have Matthew Perry. It actually plays the grown-up version of Zac Efron's character. So essentially, we follow the story of this grown man. He's in a marriage that's crumbling. He's got two teenage kids that he's disconnected with, and he's kind of living in the woes of his life. He kind of felt like certain things that happened in his youth affected his dreams of, following the basketball career that he wanted. And he's just kind of sitting in this place of like, I've sacrificed so much for my family, and I'm just very unhappy with how my life has turned out. In kind of a supernatural turn of events, he ends up going back in time and becoming his teenage self again. And at first, he kind of thinks like, this is my opportunity to do high school over again and get back the things that I had sacrificed and try and get back to the dreams that I had as a teenager. So he enrolls in the high school that his kids are going to. And very quickly, he realizes that this is actually an opportunity for him to reconnect with his kids. And he kind of sees the things that they're facing in high school and all the stereotypical troubles that come with dating bad boys or being bullied, not fitting in, like all that kind of stuff. So he goes on this journey, essentially trying to help them and then trying to win his wife over. And ultimately, he comes to realize what's more important is really a second chance to make things right with his wife and with his kids and really embrace the life that he had. And he comes to appreciate that a little bit more. I think it's definitely more like, yes, he's trying to fix his relationship with his wife, but I think the overarching love story here is more of love for family. And I think that's really beautiful to see because most chick flicks are about, finding the perfect man, which we love too, but it is kind of refreshing to see the importance of family values and just trying to win back a family and create that wholeness again within the family. So I really liked that overarching theme.
Yeah, I made the note that repairing marriages can be bland material. Usually we don't see that part of the story, right? Like we see their introduction and then their blossoming of their romance, and then at the end they kiss or they get married, and that's the end of the story. But I feel like they executed that really well in this movie. They made it entertaining. They made it very heartfelt and sweet, and they drew you in with it. I think they did a good job with that.
And it's a fun cast. Like, we love to see Matthew Perry in there because everybody loves Friends. But it's fun to see Zac Efron as his young self. And Sterling Knight is in there for any of the DCOM Disney Channel lovers. Like, we get to see a little bit of Sterling Knight, which is fun. I think it's a cute movie overall. I feel like there's a few cringier parts, which just comes with the nature of him being a dad in his teenager's body, trying to connect with his teen kids and also like his wife simultaneously. So there's a few like cringy, kind of awkward moments, but it's meant to be for the comic relief, you know, of course. So those are kind of some funny parts. And I also love the scene where he's kind of standing up to the bully that's messing around with his son and stuff, and he ends up spinning the basketball like on his finger.
Oh
You
yeah.
remember that part? Like, I just think that's so impressive. I'm just like, how does he even acquire that skill? But he's like balancing it on one finger, then on two, then on three fingers. And I'm just like, holy cow, how's he doing that?
I
So.
feel like that as I was watching this movie, I was thinking that like high school basketball is not that big of a deal in real life. I feel like in real life, the football games are what the town rallies around, what everyone goes to.
Yeah.
Basketball is I mean, I love basketball. That's what my family played more, but I just don't feel like the culture around it is as strong. But in movies, they always seem to focus on basketball. And I think in this case, it's probably because Zac Efron was already trained in basketball choreography from his High School Musical days.
It's so true.
So he knows how to do all the
So funny.
tricks.
It's probably Kenny Ortega that we could credit for that little basketball spin. I'm sure he's the one that taught him that.
Yes.
And now it's, serving him well in other films.
It was kind of sombering to see Matthew Perry and Michelle Trachtenberg in this movie because they're both very young in this movie and it's not very old. And like I watched this as a kid and it was just, I was like, this is weird that I'm watching this childhood movie and these two leading roles are passed away.
But it makes it all the more like special when you watch to be like, oh, I love that actor, and just be able to see them like in their prime. So.
Also, the soundtrack in this movie is wonderful. It is just so entertaining. It matches so well to the moment. I really enjoy listening to the soundtrack on its own, aside from when I'm just watching the movie.
That's awesome. I'll have to give that a try. I do love good movie soundtracks.
Yeah, it's a good mix of artists that I haven't really listened to elsewhere, but yeah, it's really good. I recommend it.
I think soundtracks too that are put with movies that take place in high school can just feel like so nostalgic. I think almost like every high school movie has I'm Just a Kid playing at some point, and like whenever I hear that song, I'm just like, wow, that takes me back, and makes me feel like the teenage angst all over again. So I love soundtracks that can kind of fill that nostalgia and match the era of that film, which now would be, I don't know, like a decade ago. Is that true? More than a decade that movie's been out?
I'm going to
I
look
don't
it up really
know.
fast.
Yeah, do some research for us.
2009.
Oh my gosh, that's wild. It's like 15 years ago, basically.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
crazy.
So that's gonna be a nostalgic soundtrack. I'm definitely gonna have to give that a listen.
Yeah, wow. So now that we're feeling sufficiently old, let's talk about our
Reveal
winners.
as much as I love Zac Efron, think the clear win here is Hitch. I think I just appreciate that the film's audience is a little more universal. I appreciate the constant stream of comedic scenes throughout that show. And I think overall, I enjoy the concept a little bit more of a love doctor and trying to navigate love and trying to win the person you like. I feel like that was a little bit more relatable a plot line to me than 17 Again. So that one stuck with me a little bit more. So Hitch was my choice.
I chose 17 again.
Cool. We got conflict here. That's
We
crazy. I thought
do.
you were gonna choose Hitch. Okay, tell me
No.
why.
Here's why. It was embarrassing. This was a hard one for me to choose. But 17 again makes me. I think that nostalgia gets me more. It makes me feel more feels or something. I have very few critiques on Hitch. If Hitch was paired against other comedies, I probably would choose it. But I think something about seeing Zac Efron in this movie playing basketball just like warms my heart.
Yeah,
And
fair.
it just speaks to me a little bit more. It's more like romance, feel good movie, and Hitch is more of they use romance as the vehicle for comedy. I don't know if that makes sense. I really like them both.
I like that. I wonder, since you just watched these movies recently. Do you think 17 Again speaks to you differently now as a parent than it did when it came out when you were more of like a preteen?
Oh,
Like, do you
yeah.
think you feel more connected to it because he is a parent also?
Totally. And as a wife, I think it speaks to me more now than it did as a kid because as they're like, reminiscing on their first dates and like the history of their relationship and stuff, I can resonate with that more now.
Yeah.
Whereas as a kid, I was probably more like, this is boring. Give me some meet cutes, you know?
For sure. Well, and actually, you said something that sparked a thought I meant to share earlier too. That's something I really did actually appreciate about 17 Again is when it comes to his decision, they get to a point where he's basically reliving the moment that kind of set him on the original trajectory with his wife. And it's at a basketball game, and he gets to that point again. Is he gonna really shoot his shot and like set off his basketball career, or is he going to choose his wife and try and make amends? And ultimately, he realizes that his wife and his family are more important. And I appreciate that trope because I think looking at Hallmark here, but like a lot of the time, you see it's the ambitious, like female character that ends up giving up her career. Or like, going back to Sweet Home Alabama, which we talked about in our last podcast, she kind of gives up who she had become for the sake of like rekindling her romance. And so I just think it's refreshing to see the man put aside his dreams and realize that the real dream, the real win is get his wife and his family back. And I just don't think you see that as often in movies. Usually the sacrifice comes from the woman's side. And so I really like to see that he was able to put aside his dreams for the things that were ultimately most important, which I appreciated.
I do too. I think it's very honorable to put your family first and then the success will follow. Sorry, I'm distracted
Absolutely.
because I can literally hear Aurora screaming right now. I'm like, take care of your family.
That's okay. I actually think I hear someone like weed whacking outside my door. I'm wondering if you can hear it on this recording. And I was like, oh, I think she is hearing it based on her facial expressions. But no, it's just Aurora. So that's okay.
I think I
You
did
can't hear
hear.
my weed whacker.
I
I
think I
can't
heard a
hear
weed whacker
Aurora.
once or twice also.
Dang. Well, maybe everyone else will get to hear those lovely sounds too.
You
I think
go.
those can be edited out. But wow, so juicy. So this is really the start of like seeing some of our decisions are gonna align and then some of them are gonna kind of change. And as we go along, I think it's gonna get more interesting for the audience.
Our next matchup is My Big Fat Greek Wedding versus Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. I'm gonna need a refresher on some of
Me
those, but
too, for sure. Hopefully, all of you listening also do your research so that when you come, you can have an educated opinion on what we're saying.
yes, I want to hear what people think about our thoughts today too. Our about
Yeah,
17 Again
absolutely.
versus Hitch. Let us know if first of all, let us know how you, if you think these truly did deserve a spot on the bracket. Obviously, we have very divided opinions here, so please let us know what you think. Help us settle this debate. Which chick flick is greater?